right. Man, oh man. Man, that was good, wasn't it? That helps us on a, what day is this? Tuesday morning, amen. And praise the Lord. I'm just glad to be here and very grateful, amen. If you was here at 9, boy, you got some help. Thank you, Brother Neil. I mean, just good stuff. And always, I love this meeting, amen. And preacher, you said it right. Iron sharpeneth iron, amen. And just glad to be here. Some of you have asked why I'm not driving my truck. I've got my truck, you know, that's all shot up because I shot it. And really, it's got bullet holes in it. Not, people put these stickers on their trucks. Not me, amen, you know. I got my own, you know, just shoot your own. Anyway, I won't, that's not what I'm talking about. But I hit a deer. I hit a deer. And then it was like a four-pointer. It wasn't even a wall hanger. It was just a... You know, I mean, and then it messed it up too much. I couldn't even get the meat out of it and all that stuff. I hit it so hard, y'all. I mean, his eyes popped out. You know what you call a deer with no eyes? No idea. All right, you're dismissed. Let's go eat lunch. Amen. This will be good. I'm serious, kind of. All right. Amen. Well, praise praise the Lord. All right, we do have a good time. You know what? If you can't have a good time with God's people, then where are you going to have a good time? I spend my life at church. I mean, in churches, at church, you know. So, I mean, so I do enjoy it. I'm grateful to be saved. Man, good singing, y'all. I'm thankful, too. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm just, hey, I was a bus kid. They picked me up on a church bus, brought me in. I didn't know a thing about God. Nobody in my family saved. No aunt, no uncle, no granddaddy, nobody. And they brought us in, and I heard about Jesus, and he saved my soul and changed my life. And so I'm forever grateful, amen. We didn't have a godly heritage, but it started then, amen. And so now, you know, now we have one. You know, so the Lord just, he's been, it's been good. But I tell you, I appreciate I like the theme, the building and battling, amen. And we've all come here to get some help. We come to get strength. We want to go back. And wherever God's put you, you want to do something for God, don't you? I don't want to sit around and just, I don't want to be satisfied with mediocrity. I don't want to just be satisfied to sit around and say, well, I pastored a church. That's not good enough. I don't want to be satisfied just to survive in the city where we're at in Locust Grove. I want to thrive, amen. I want God to have his way. I want to see what God can do in Locust Grove, Georgia. Amen. That's where the Lord's put me, but I know where you're at, preacher. You want to see what God can do down here in Jacksonville. Is that right? We want to see what God can do where God's put us. And let me just help you with something. There's no limit on what God can do. With men, these things are impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Amen. And I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to look right here this morning. And so I pray the Lord will just help you a little bit. While you're turning there, of course, I'll read a familiar passage to you or a familiar verse. Over in Matthew chapter 16, of course, the Lord Jesus is talking. He asked me, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter, of course, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, the Lord commended him for that. And he said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Boy, I thank God for that, all right? I'm just telling you, I'm grateful that the Lord started his church. There's nothing better on planet Earth than the local church, amen. And hey, we've got the right master, say amen right there. I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. He's the head of that thing. And so the right master, if you got that King James Bible in your hand, you got the right manuscript, amen. We got the right, because we got the right manuscript, we got the right message we preach. Man, I like that. You've got a preacher that God Almighty has called and put in your church, then you got the right man of God. Say amen right there. And by the way, I'll get into that. You ought to love your man of God, back the man of God, and back his faith. You're like, well, I don't got much faith. That's all right. Jump on board with his. I guarantee you he's got plenty, all right. and the Lord, he wants to bless that. Hey, if you got all that going on, then hey, it's good to have the right music. Woo, man, I'm talking about that. So, hey, I don't care if it's choir music, special singing music, soloist. Hey, I like it. Amen. I'm good for two things when I come to a meeting. If I'm not doing the preaching, I'm going to be sitting down there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say amen. And I'm going to the altar. Why are you going to the altar? I need it. And it bothers me. Somebody like, I'm too spiritual to go to the altar. No, I'm so unspiritual, I need to go. Amen. Y'all can say amen right there. That's all right. And I'm just telling you, we have all of that. And when you get into it, boy, you want to have the right kind of church, and we want to reach people. We want God to bless that thing, and we want God to have his way with us. And so really, this matter of building, the Lord Jesus started that. Now, we just get to be in on it. He said, I will build my church, but the Lord Jesus, that's like the Son of God. Think about it. Did he die on Calvary for you? Did he rise from the grave? Is he in heaven right now? If old lady comes in here and she falls down in the middle aisle, is he going to come out of heaven and help her stand up? Some of you are like, well, I'd like to see it. But no, he's not going to. Amen. So you know what he's going to do? He'll put it in your heart. Hey, let's go help the old lady up. I'm sorry, lady. I meant vintage. And I'm just telling you, he's going to say, let's help her up. I mean, if you see somebody on the side of the road and they got a flat tire, and look, Jesus isn't going to come out of heaven and come down here and go change that tire over there. No, he's going to get you to stop and get your wife to go change the tire for him. Amen. And, he's going to do that. God does that. God, not God, amen, but need to be careful with that, all right. But you know what the Lord does? Hey, he saved you. He went to heaven. He's taking care of business in heaven, amen. But he saved me and you. And he puts you in a church so that you either do one of two things. You either pastor a church or you help somebody pastor that church. And that's what I really want to deal with for just a little bit. I want us to look right here in Nehemiah chapter 2, and look with me in verse 17. We'll just go there to start with. The Bible says, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. Now listen to this. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now what you heard the preacher dealing with in the 9 o'clock hour, you see verse 19 and 20. When the work starts, man, the old devil sticks his head up. Said, when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us. Remember that. They don't love you. But they despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I unto them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Lord, help me as I just preach this simple message. I pray that it'll help somebody today. Lord, you said, I will build my church. But Lord, you left the pastors and you left people here. And God, you'll use us to be a part of that great work. And I'm so glad of that. Lord, I love you. And I'm so thankful I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. And Lord, I'm just so glad you called me to preach. But Lord, would you bless me? God, would you help and fill me with the Holy Ghost? And Lord, use this message right now to help your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I want you to look right here. Now, when I look at the book of Nehemiah, I'm seeing him. We know the context. We realize that and we'll get into that in a minute, but he heard about what was going on. God got a hold of his heart. He goes down there, and he's coming to build the wall. He's coming to repair, help start repairing Jerusalem, restore the worship, everything that needs to be done, there in Jerusalem. But God's going to use this man named Nehemiah. Now, I'm just going to preach this morning on building a good work, building a good work. And I like what they said down in verse 18. It says, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hand for this good work. Praise God. not. Well, I just say, when I think about the church, I know what the Lord said about the church. And he said, husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. If the Lord loves the church, we ought to love church. I'm telling you, if the Lord, he's the head of the thing. I mean, he's the head. Us preachers, God uses us. But that's what I want to get into. If you're going to build a good work, number one, you got to have a leader. You got to have a leader. Now, around here, you've got Brother Neil and myself. And no, I'm kidding. You just have Brother Neil. Amen. I'm not the co-pastor. We cut up about that. I'm really the pastor. But I like coming down here and checking on my work. I mean, the work down here. Amen. And you've got a man of God. God gave you Brother Neil. He's the man of God here. He's the one that you follow. He's the one that that God uses, and that God will lay on his heart the direction of this church. Brother Dominic, God placed you in your church. You're the man of God there. God placed me in my church. I'm the man of God there. And I want to tell you something. It is a great honor to be the man of God. But at the same time, makes you want to crawl under that carpet, because you realize, Lord, I stand before you with this work. And God, it's not just, oh, I'm the man of God. Wait a minute. Then along with that great role comes great responsibility. And you understand, when I look at Nehemiah, go back to chapter 1 and look when he first heard about what was going on over there in Jerusalem. The Bible says that he was in Shushan the palace. Look in verse 2. That Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews which had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity are there in the province, are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now, y'all, you say, well, I imagine he, well, man, somebody ought to do something about that. No, let me tell you what it did to Nehemiah. Look in verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let me tell you, Nehemiah was a leader with a burden, amen. He was a leader with a burden. I believe that God Almighty, I look at Locust Grove, and I can ride those streets, whether it be by day or by night. And when I ride by there, I'll see new subdivisions being built. I'll see houses that have been there for a long time. But I don't just see a house sitting there. I think there's a daddy in there, and there's a mama in there, and there's children in that home, and there may be grandparents in that home. And that's the family that we can reach. In our area, it gets so built up, you know, everybody's like, the traffic and all the families, amen, all the people, praise God, all the souls that we have an opportunity to be able to reach. You ought to have a burden, amen. And by the way, every leader ought to have that burden for your place, amen. Now, we ought to have a burden for all the lost around the whole world and try to do everything we can reaching all of that. But I want to tell you something. You need to start in your own Jerusalem. Where's your Jerusalem, amen? That's where God put you. That's where the Lord placed you, amen. And but this burden, amen, he was a leader with a burden. The Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors after mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So the Lord says, if you've got a pastor, God gave you that man. But he says, I will give you, men, think about this. The Lord said about us, I will give you pastors. I'll give you somebody that's going to care for those sheep. I'll give you somebody that's going to feed those sheep. I'll give you somebody that's going to lead you. I'll give somebody that's going to have a burden. I'll give you somebody that'll love you. I'll give you somebody that'll be responsible for you. I'll give you somebody that'll stand before God one day with that leadership. And when you think about that, boy, that ought to make you pray for your preacher. Man, that ought to make you lift your preacher up and, hey, ask God to touch him and ask God to help him and ask God to give him wisdom and ask God to watch over him and protect him and all of these things. But Nehemiah, boy, what a good illustration of him being a man with a burden. But I want to tell you something. He was just not just his burden. How about the fact that he was a builder? Now, here's what the Lord, now, you see what happened. He goes before the king. If you was to read the rest of the chapter, you see he's the king's cupbearer, all right. Now, that job description was just this. It is, let's see, I've got one down there. It's this right here. The king, you know, they're going to bring something to the king, and the king's going to, you know, king's got to drink something, all right. And so here's the cupbearer's job. You know what they'd say? Don't drink that, king. By the way, how'd the cupbearer get his job? Okay, y'all think about that for a minute, all right? The last guy lost it, amen. I'm just telling you. So, and there's always somebody standing in line for the cupbearer's job. But it seemed like to be almost a lowly position. But imagine that God would take a cupbearer and make a wall builder out of him. And imagine that God would take a bunch of sinners on their way to hell, hey, worth nothing, and I mean, brother, of no degree and no worth, and would save them by the grace of God. And imagine God saving us and calling us and using us in any way. I tell you what, it's an honor, ain't it? Whoa, man, I'm telling you what. But I think about this. The Lord didn't just save him just to and say, well, we got a need here. Somebody needs to do it. He heard about that, and he said, you know what? He said, the Lord began working on his heart about this matter of Jerusalem. But I'm not just going to go to Jerusalem. I'll tell you what I'll do. King, let me just go to Jerusalem, and I just want to go. And, well, where do you want to go? Well, I heard what's going on over there, and I just want to go survey it. I just want to go see what's going on. No, that wasn't what he was there to do. He went there to rebuild it. He went there for not, and by the way, not just so that it could be like it used to be, like so that we can just maintain, well, let's just get, I think we want to go a little bit past that, don't we? I don't think his goal was, let's just go over there and if we can get one of the walls built in my life, boy, that'd be good. No, I think his goal was, let's build all the walls back. Hey, let's build this city back, praise God. If we're going to do that, let's build the temple back, amen. Let's get it all done, amen. And you know what? He was a builder. God had laid on his heart to do this. Now, notice with me, and I want to show you something right here. Look with me, if you will, down in chapter 2, when he has come to Jerusalem. Now, of course, if you look at verse 5, he said, then said I unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. Now look with me down in verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man, listen to this, what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast save the beast that I rode upon. Nehemiah is just, the Lord's having him pin this down. But I don't want to tell you something. There's so much that goes on in this book, but when that one verse, he said, neither told I any man, preacher, what God hath put in my heart. Boy, he hit on that this morning, and it doesn't matter, preacher, wherever we're at. Do you understand that when God puts you in that place, the Lord is going to begin to work in your heart, and the Lord is going to give you, hey, you're the watchman on the wall. He's going to let you see a little bit further than the average man. The Lord is going to begin to deal with you and your faith about stepping out on faith and doing something for God. The Lord is going to put something in your heart, just like he did Nehemiah right there. Oh, brother, I want to say, I remember, brother, down there, and it wasn't just one time way back yonder when I came to the church, but over and over again, the Lord will put something in my heart, amen. And when he puts it on my heart, as he's telling me, hey, this is what I want you to do, this is what you're going to be able to do, I'm going to help you to do it. You don't got to do it by yourself. And I want to tell you something. Let me ask you something this morning. What's God put on your heart? What's God put on your heart to do? You say, I like that. The Lord may not put on my heart what he's put on Brother Chitty's heart to do out there. Out there in New Mexico. The Lord may not put on your heart what I'm to do where I'm right here. And so don't get this out. Well, I don't understand. I wish I had on my heart what Brother Hopkins has. Hey, you don't want a pastor in Locust Grove. I do. But I don't think you really want to do that. I mean, I'm talking like they're all like me. You're like, yeah, okay, that's all I need. I don't want to go to Locust Grove, amen. And I've got Brother Chris and Brother Cody with me. They're like me. They're rednecks. Not a redneck in a bad way. Well, yeah, probably so. But I'm just telling you, the Lord has put me in the right place. But with the work of God there, hey, I remember being up there in when we were up in Riverdale when we first came. But I remember when the Lord put it on my heart to move our church and to sell where we were at and to move 30 miles and to build a brand spanking new church. And I mean, didn't have the money to build it. Didn't have the, brethren, I had old preachers. I mean, I'm talking about, I remember an old preacher with gray sat me down. Brother Hopkins, can I come talk to you? I'm like, yes, sir, brother. And I'm just, you know, young preacher. I'm thinking he's going to be like, God bless you, preacher. Man, you just do something. You know what he said? He said, so you're really thinking about selling this church, moving 30 miles and building a church. And of course, I'm just, you know, young Brother Hopkins. I'm like, yes, sir, sure am. And he said, you're going to kill it. Like that, with that little, you're going to kill it. And I was like, huh? He said, the Lord sent me here to tell you that that's not what God wants. Now, look, I'm so sweet, and you know, I said, well, brother, I sure do appreciate you coming and telling me what you think. but even in that day, I remember telling him, I said, but God has put this in my heart. I wouldn't tell anybody else to go move their church 30 miles. I wouldn't tell you to go build a brand spanking new building in the way that we did it and how we did it at that time. I wouldn't tell you to do it where we did it, out on Peeksville Road. You know, you think, oh, I tell you what, I'm going to go to the city and I'll find that prime piece of property. I'll find that highway that's going right down the main center of the highway. And oh, I want everybody to see that church. That's where I need to be. I need to be a main road preacher, praise God. You know, Brother Hopkins, a main road preacher. That don't even sound right. That's like government worker. That don't say that don't go together, does? But I'm just telling you. And so it wasn't that way. We're down off of Peeksville Road. You got to ride by the cows, ride by the farms, and you got to go here and there. I mean, you know, now it's kind of growing up a little bit. They put a red light in Locust Grove. It's really big now, amen. But I'm just telling you, hey, it's not like that. The Lord put us down, but you know what he did? He put us right where he wanted us to be. And right in that place, there's been people getting saved ever since we got there. And I mean people getting baptized and, hey, God changing. I've got my church members, but the Lord's let me be the pastor. So I really, hey, you fellas, God bless you. Y'all do what God wants you to do where you're at. But, man, I got a lot on my plate to do what God wants me to do right there at Heritage. And let me help you with something. You got a lot on your plate, too, to do what God wants you to do where you're at. He was a man with a backbone, by the way. He was a man with a backbone. He was going to have to spend all his time while he's building. You're going to see that they not only, hey, in fact, the laborers, I'll get to that in a minute, but they would carry on the work with one hand and hold a sword in the other. And brother, they tried to get him to come off the wall, and he wouldn't do it. He said, why should I come down to you while the work ceases? He said, I'm not going to do that. And so many times, brother, I'll not get into that, all of that. But brother, you're going to face opposition whenever you're doing the work of God. And let me just help you. This matter of a backbone and that boldness, I believe that God gives that to you. Amen. And here, let me help you. Ain't nobody going to talk about Heritage Baptist Church to me. Now, they may talk about it other places. They talk about it here or there. But it's funny. Nobody ever says, hey, Brother Hopkins, let me come tell you how bad your church is. Now, they'll tell everybody else how bad it is. They'll tell everybody else what it's not, what it ought to be, and all this. But funny, they don't come down there and talk to me. They're like, oh, I heard about you shooting up your truck. Oh, I wonder why they don't want to come talk. No, it's not that at all. Hey, I believe God gives you a holy boldness. I believe he gives you boldness to stand and preach the word of God. I believe that all the things that we ought to do, hey, the standards and the soul winning, and here, we have our church is all, I mean, man, I like old time worship. I mean, hey, I got fellas that'll run. I'm not going to. You thought I was going to. They'll run. I mean, they'll take off and hey, and then they'll shout. and we're shouting down here, they're shouting out there. I got ladies that are, whoa! You're like, what do you do? I just, whoa, with them. Hey, I'm gonna praise God with it, amen. But I mean, saying that's what God's put in my heart to do. And I'm grateful for it, amen. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit of God moving in a service. I'm grateful for people filling up an altar. Hey, every service you have, man, they're down there hitting the altar during the singing, hitting the altar. I thank God for that. But you got to have boldness to lead it the way God wants you to lead it. You say every place, I realize it's not the same like that, but I'm saying you better have the boldness that God gives you. And then I just say this, he had just a willingness to be. Now, what I mean by that is to be the man of God that God wanted him to be. Nehemiah was satisfied that he wasn't Moses. Nehemiah was satisfied that he was not Isaiah. Nehemiah was satisfied. And by the way, you better just say, Lord, I sure do thank you that you called me. And by the way, I'm glad I don't have to be Brother Sellers. Man alive, I couldn't fill those shoes, do what he does there with his church, the way he does it. I couldn't be a Brother Chitty. God didn't ask me to do that, but I couldn't do, hey, that's not, but you understand, but I sure can try to be the best Terrell Hopkins God's guy. I sure can try to be the best man of God for my church that God's got. Now, let me help you now. Fellas, now I've been dealing with the leaders, amen. And all the people of God are like, amen. You tell us what them leaders need to do, praise God. All the laborers are like, that's right. That's what you tell my preacher, amen. You let him know what kind of, he needs to have a burden and he needs to have a back. That's good, amen. But hey, you need to be a good laborer. That's the second thing now. If you're going to build a work, you got to have a leader, but you got to have laborers, all right? And by the way, fellas, you can't do it by yourself, can you? Never seen a one-man show. You know, well, I'll pastor my four and no more. Well, you better get a couple more than that. Hey, Bible says that two are better than one. I found that three is better than two. And four is better than three, and five is better than four. Hey, I just say this. We ought to try to reach everybody we can, but these laborers, amen. When I look at this, all I know is that here comes this man. Here comes a man, and he just tells them what God has put on his heart to do. Here in verse 17, he said, look around, boys. He said, look around at what's going on around here. He said, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates are ever burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's word. In other words, he had already gone that route, taking care of all of that. But you see, these people had that's where they sit. And by the way, that's where we sit. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm under a pastor. I'm in a church. Then you're in that same place that they were at whenever the man of God came and told them what God had put on his heart to do. They could have done like some and said, well, then maybe you ought to find some people to help you, preacher. Now, not me, but you ought to find some people that might want to help you with that. They could have done that. They could have been mad about it. Hey, get out of here. We start doing something like that, and that's going to cause trouble, and it's going to bring a lot of attention down here, and we don't need that. We'd rather just stay in our affliction. And there's people that would rather live with broken walls all around them instead of build something for God. I don't understand that. But they'd rather live with broken walls and in affliction and under reproach than to do anything for God. Now, that's not the crowd you're looking for. I tell you, I'm looking for this crowd right here. I'm looking for somebody that says this whenever I tell them my heart and what God wants to do. It says, and they said, the laborers said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Write this down, amen. I think that I like their following, praise God. I like their following, amen. Now, I believe if you got a good man of God, and he's the man of God for your church, and God puts you in that church, then you ought to follow your man of God. Follow his faith, amen. He's going to step out on faith. He's going to obey the Lord. And by the way, usually the preacher is a very unusual man. Y'all know that. Amen. The preacher is very unusual, amen. And now he's God's man, but he's going to come. And you know what? He's actually going to, when God speaks to him, he's going to try to do what God says. when the Lord says, and he's going to ask you to do some strength. Now, y'all, I just know. I mean, imagine the Wednesday night service when you're like, y'all, everybody, I finished preaching and you've had the altar call. And you're like, hey, y'all, sit down for a minute. That's the you know I'm your friend, don't you? That's the equivalent to that. When the preacher says, now y'all sit down for a minute. You, hey, go ahead. If there's belt buckles on those pews, go ahead and buckle up and just wait for what he's about to say. But when you say, y'all, the Lord's put something on my heart. Now here's how strong it was on my heart, and they didn't even know it. I that's the night I told them, y'all, I believe the Lord's touching our heart. We got families that they get saved and they don't put their kids in these schools around here. They move away. And I didn't know where we were going at that time, preacher. I mean, it'd be nice, isn't that, and you're not supposed to do that, are you? You're not supposed to talk to them before you don't know where you're going. But I didn't know. I just know I preached on stepping out. I preached about Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on the water to go to Jesus. And that night I just said, y'all, I said, I'm like Peter. And I said, the Lord's there, and here's what the Lord's saying. Lord's saying we need to move this church. And I said, I can't even tell you where. I said, I just know that, I said we can stay here and survive because we're winning people to God. I said, or we can move and thrive. And I said, I'm going to obey the Lord. I said, but I'm going, and I did, something like that. And I just put it before him, and I said, y'all pray about it. And I said, I'm going to talk to you about it. I said, but, and see, because they could have done one of two things. They could have been that crowd that said, oh, no, neighbor, we ain't wanting that. We're fine where we're at. We're fine to live in mediocrity. Let's just stay where we're at. We're comfortable. We got a little place that's paid for. And here, this is all fine with us. But I'm just saying, I wasn't satisfied to coast out the rest of my life. Just maintaining some building and a few people that were in it. I don't think that's what God wanted me to do. I thought God wanted me to build. Amen. And here, if they would have said, preacher, you're crazy. We ain't going that direction. Here, I didn't tell them that beforehand, but God had put it so strong in my heart that I would have said, well, y'all, I love you, but Lord wants me and my family to resign. You know what I'd have done? I'd have found out, it'd have been Locust Grove, but I'd have moved down to Locust Grove and I'd have had found me a house or either rented it or whatever we needed to do. And then you know what? I'd have just started knocking doors, found some people, got saved. Hey, you got a living room, you can have a pretty good-sized church in the living room, can't you? Yeah. Amen? Hey, maybe the garage, I don't know. Maybe get your thing outside. Hey, they bring their chairs, you can put them outside. You get a few more than that. But after a while, you know what I've done? Just started a church down there. Now, but I didn't have to do all of that. And you know why? Because when I told them what was on my heart, you know what those people did? The majority of everybody that was in our church at that time. I mean, boy, they did pray about it. And I remember them one by one coming to me. Sometimes preacher coming on their own, just coming or calling me on the phone or just coming by and maybe tears running down their face. And they said, preacher, if the Lord's laid this on your heart, if that's what God wants you to do, then we're with you. We're with you, amen. And we'll follow you and we'll help you and we'll be a part of that. I thank God for people that'll follow, amen. Thank God for people that'll labor with you. The Bible says we're laborers together with God. Is that right? Amen. Well, we all do that. But you as a church member, you labor together with your pastor. You thank God for their following, amen. You thank God that they're willing to go with you, amen. The more you have, what do they say, the broader the base, the taller the building. I realize that. More people you got, more people that are doing that, the more ministry, amen. But I believe that God blesses that. Hey, I like their fervency. Look with me in chapter 3. Chapter 3 is real simple. It's just they're all working. Look at verse 2. And next unto them builded the men of Jericho, and next unto them builded Zachar and the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasena build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the sons of Uriah. You see, next unto them, this family. Next unto them, this family. Sound like they all got involved. And sound like they weren't shying away from the work that needed to be done. Let me give you, when I think about laborers, then you got to talk about the labor. The greatest labor of the local church is the labor for souls. Yes, I said the greatest labor for the local church is the labor for souls, keeping people out of hell. knocking doors, telling people about Christ, trying to win everybody to God that you can, baptize them. Hey, win them, wed them, wean them, work them, praise God. All right, another outline, just another, you know, just throw it out there. All right, but I'm just telling you, hey, you want them to get saved, right? I want people to die and go to hell. And no, you can start telling stories about the people you win to God and how God does it, how the Lord blessed it. And let me just say, God sure does bless soul winning. Amen. Man, God sure does bless soul winning. God sure does bless you going out and telling people about Jesus. If God's looking for a church, brother, to take his blessings and pour it out on, he's looking for that church that's busy about winning souls, amen. Run those buses, knock those doors, make those calls, whatever you got to do. Put every hook in the water you can, but win people to God. Win them from the school. Win them from the bus ministry. Win them when you're out at Walmart. Win them when you're over at Winn-Dixie. Amen. It doesn't matter where you're at. Tell them Jesus. I'm just telling you, but then you got the labor of the saints. You can't just say, you got a church, you got all these people that come in and get saved, then man alive, that's that feeding the flock of God. That's helping to edify the body of Christ. That's helping them grow in the Lord. Get them. I got my pastor's class. I got 4 points I teach, and then I shoot them into Sunday school classes. And then I teach them again, then shoot them in Sunday school class. When you get saved, if I could remember it, I'd help you with it. No, I'm kidding. You gotta get grounded. You gotta get grounded in the Word of God. Then they gotta be growing. You gotta help them to grow. Then you wanna teach them about giving. The Bible says they first gave of them own selves. Teach them how to give their life to the Lord. And then you can, if they'll give themselves to God, you ain't gotta worry about them giving their money. If they'll give their self and they'll give their life to the Lord, they'll give their family to the Lord, they'll give their wallet to the Lord. You don't got to even worry about that. And then the grounding and the growing and then the giving and then the going and God using them. But you see, you get a church full of people, you get a church full of laborers, and you get a church full of like-minded people. Now, I'm just telling you, you get around your pastor, you'll get a hold of his mind, you'll get a hold of his heart, what God's doing with him. You'll hear it from the pulpit. When you're out soul winning with him, you'll hear it there. If you're sitting talking with him over a hamburger, you'll hear it there. And boy, you'll see what God has laid on his heart to do. And then you can get a hold of that, and boy, God can use you. See, because you're a follower, you're fervent, amen. And you're a fighter, by the way. Hey, look, there's a lot of things you have to fight if you're going to be a church member, amen. And by the way, you're going to be a church member that's got an old-fashioned preacher. Then the preacher's going to, I'm just telling you, his preaching and what God's trying to do and all that God wants him to do in that church, then there's going to be a crowd that they don't understand it. There's going to be a crowd that don't agree with it. There's going to be a crowd, and here's what they're going to do. They're not going to come talk to the preacher. Let me help you, labor. They're going to come talk to you. They ain't going to bump their jaw to the preacher's or the preacher's wife. No, preacher's wife will deck them. Don't look at me like that. Y'all know your preacher's wife would do that. Now, think about this now. They're going to come to you. And I found that whenever there's that crowd that fall like dominoes. And then there's that crowd that whenever it gets to them, it stops. In other words, there's those that say, whoa, what? Be like that boy that called me one time about Preacher Moore. You know, he called me. I tell you what, he's all aggravated about something. I can't even remember what it was. We're like teenagers. We're like 19, 20. He's like, I don't like this, and I don't understand why he's doing that. And I said, no, what? What? I don't understand it. And I was like, now you don't understand it. What and why again? And I was sitting there writing it down. And finally he said, why do you keep asking me that? I said, because when I hang up with you, I said, I'm calling Preacher Moore. And I'm going to let my preacher know what's, I said, you that upset? I said, man, I need to let him know. And oh, you talk about somebody backpedaling. So he thought he'd done found somebody that would just listen. Now look, your silence is your agreement. Don't do that mess. Your silence is your agreement. Well, I just didn't say anything. Well, you just did if you didn't say anything. You're agreeing with him if you don't say anything. look, why don't you be vocal about it? I was very vocal, and I still am. My preacher's about to be 90. I've been pastoring my church 23 years. He's still my man of God. He's still the preacher, praise God. But I tell you, hey, I want to live in such a way and back my preacher in such a way that I say, when I get on my knees and say, God, would you give me some people that will follow me the way I follow my man of God? Lord, would you give me some people that will be as loyal to this work and what God's doing here as we were to that work and what God was doing there? And I'm just telling you, learn to be one of those that will fight for your church. You fight for the church members. You fight for your man of God. Hey, you back the man of God. You protect him, amen. Don't ever let somebody lay their tongue on your preacher. Now, well, I don't understand so-and-so ministry. Hey, by the way, don't let them lay their tongue on the assistant pastors. Now, don't get all quiet on me. You're like, well, you don't know the assistant pastors. I'm just telling you, that's somebody that the pastor put being an assistant. That's his leadership. Within, you don't run down the assistant pastor in a church. You assistant pastors, let me give you, you read Nehemiah, you know what one of the problems they had? They had a problem within themselves. You know, I mean, here, that's not anything new. I mean, you read down there when Abraham and Lot, the herdsmen, had a little strife in between them. You assistant pastors, hey, you better, hey, don't do that. You just came back, is that right? Well, I can't believe they let Brother Montgomery, what's he doing sitting up there? I mean, I've been here so long. I mean, I can't believe you put him over. And I mean, if he was going to put somebody doing that, why don't they let me do that? Well, you saying that is the very reason you're not. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be sweet. but no, you got to be careful. Yeah, you don't have strife in the herdsman. Well, I tell you what, I don't like the other assistant pastor. I don't like, his kids seem to get away with so much, and he gets it. You little crybaby. You little whiner. Are you kidding me? The work of God's going on. We're trying to keep people out of hell, and there's a great work trying to take place, and you're worried about what some other guy's kids and what they're doing and what they're not doing. Now, say amen now. Now, all this is under being a good laborer. Just don't seem like it right now, does it? But it is, amen. And I just say thank God for their faithfulness. But we all know this, and I'm finished. Here's the thing. You can have the greatest leader, and you can have great laborers, but none of this is going to get done without the Lord. Yeah. Write that down. The Lord. The Bible says over in Psalm 127, he said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Is that right? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So I realize, and you do too, it's going to take God. It's going to take the power of God. The verse I gave you a little while ago in Hebrews 10:27, it says, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. You know what I found out? God's got all the plans. God's got all the plans for what I need to do, and all I got to do is get close to God and let him speak to my heart and be willing to, like Peter on the boat, when all Peter said was, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And the Lord just said one word. He just said, come. And that's all Peter needed, man. He said that, and I mean, so I don't think he had the on the end of the word come before Peter's like, wow, I'm out of this boat with these bunch of losers, amen. And he headed out there where Jesus was. Can I help you? Don't matter where our Savior is, if that's where he's at, Lord, can I just come out there where you're at? Now, I'm just telling you, because I realize if anything gets done at Heritage Baptist Church, oh, we're preachers because of your great ability or your great enthusiasm or your great soul winning and your great this and your great... No, no, no. I need God to bless the preaching. I need God to bless the soul winning. I need God to bless and help my church. I need God to help me. I need God. I want God all over my laborers. I want God all over the leader. I want God in the church services. I want the Lord to move. Amen. But hey, what is the old song? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Isn't that right? Hey, without God, what in the world are we? Jesus said, for without me, ye can do what? Nothing. Not a blessed thing. But hey, but with me, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to work for God. I want to just be part of it. Whatever God does there in Locust Grove, man, I want to be part of it. You want to be part of what God wants you to do? Now, if you're the leader, you're like, oh, yeah, I want that. Man, we just, hey, get God in on that thing. Man, do it God's way. You want to be a good laborer? You want to see what God can do with you as a laborer? Oh, man, give yourself to the Lord. Hey, follow that good man of God. Be a blessing to him. Hey, be one of those workers I'm talking about that God uses. And then we all look to God as God's plans. Hey, it's God's provision. And you know what God will do, preacher? All these things he wants. Isn't it God's penny? God's got penny. Now, I know where we find the money. When they needed money, the disciples needed, he said, go fishing, didn't he? He said, it's in the fisher's mouth. He said, so that kind of goes back to just keep on reaching them, don't it? Amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes, preacher?